Going to the book of Psalms, to the 148th Psalm. And just for your information tonight, I'm going to read just that last verse, the 14th. Though I'm going to go back and comment on the whole thing. But reading Psalm 148 in verse number 14, the scripture said, "He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." I want to take my text tonight from that phrase that said, a people near unto him. Now, wasn't that wonderful? That just stands out, doesn't it? I read a lot of the good stuff in the psalm, but my favorite part is the part that says, a people near unto him. Aren't you glad the Lord's near tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. It hadn't always been that way. Let me say, it hasn't always been that way. But I'm so glad that the Lord is near to us tonight. Amen. Praise God. If you'll lift your hands and thank God before you're seated, you can do that in just a minute. Let's give him praise one more time. Jesus, we are so mighty blessed. Amen. A people that is near unto God. Hallelujah. And I thank you for that tonight. And I'm so appreciative. Thank you for being close to us. It's your choice. It was your decision. But I'm so glad that you decided to make us near. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. It's so interesting how the book of Psalms closes. It starts closing, it seems to me, in Psalm 146. And then all the way to Psalm 150. It begins, every chapter begins and ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." And it's filled with praises over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, the psalmist, and we don't know who to credit with the writing of the 148th Psalm. They're not listed. They're not named here. But it starts out by saying, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." So it just, he said, "Let them praise the name of the Lord." So he starts out by telling the angels, "Hey, y'all, praise the Lord." Amen. "Every host, praise the Lord." Amen. And then he looks at the sun and he said, "Hey, sun, praise the Lord. Hey, moon, praise the Lord. Multitude of stars, praise the Lord. Heavens and heavens above the heavens, praise the Lord." So he's making sure he's getting everybody involved here. Hallelujah. He's wanting to get all of the heavens and all that exists in the heavens involved. He said, verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." Amen. He commanded and they were created. Hallelujah. Hey, that's why we ought to praise the Lord tonight, because we're his creation. Amen. Everything that exists, he commanded, and it was created. Hallelujah. Amen. We're studying about that in our Sunday school lessons. in the adult class, and I'm enjoying it because I believe that. Amen. I don't believe it took a big bang. I don't think God just created and then forgot about us and walked off somewhere else. Amen. I don't believe any of that. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. And He made it all with His Word, and it confirms it again. The psalmist said, He commanded and they were created. Amen. That's a good reason to praise the Lord. I don't know if you ever look up at the heavens at night on a beautiful night that is so filled with stars and a moon that's beaming down, and you look up at that and something swells up in your heart and you just want to say, praise the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been driving toward the east and watched a beautiful sunrise as it begins to light a new day, and something inside you just says, praise the Lord. Don't know if you've ever been driving west and watched the sun as it sinks into its cradle for the night, and all of the heavens are just lit up with a glorious sunset, and something inside of you says, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Amen. There's just something about seeing God's creation written in the skies and in the heavens that makes you want to praise the Lord, hallelujah. He said, you praise because He commanded and you're created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass. Boy, I like that. In other words, God's Word is irrefutable. Amen. God's Word is immutable. God's Word will last, friend, forever. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. Hallelujah. Hey, you don't have to worry about any of the stuff that's going on right now. People worried, well, climate change, we're going to fry. Amen. We're going to get out of here before then. Amen. People worried about all kinds of things. You know what? God established the heavens. Amen. God drew the lines. God created the gravity. God put everything in its distance. God put everything in its orbit. God put everything in its rotation. God's done all of that. He established it, and guess what? It's always been exactly like He said it was going to be. Amen. Anybody ever known the sun to miss a day? Rise and set. Not in your lifetime. It's there every day. It's there every day. Amen. And whether you can see them or not, the stars are always there. I mean, we may have a little cloudy night and you may not see them, but they're there. Hallelujah. Kind of like the little boys out flying a kite and it got up in the clouds. A man came by and he said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, I don't see any kite. He said, how do you know you're flying a kite? I don't believe it. He said, well, I can feel it tugging on the other end of the string. Amen. You may not see. Some folks don't believe in God, but I do. Because I can feel Him tugging on the other end of the string. That's why I know He's there. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is near me. I know that tonight as a fact in my life. And then he gets all carried away again. And he says, praise the Lord from the earth. And he's got us praising God in the heavens. He said, now let's come down a little notch. He said, now praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all you deeps. Amen. All the deep places. Praise God. Amen. You believe in dragons? Well, that's what it says. Amen. I've seen some dragons come to church. Come dragon. Amen. So he said to you dragons, praise the Lord. But let me just clarify that. If you're dragging, I'm still glad you're here. Amen. If you can just drag in, you got the devil. You got the best of it. You won the fight. You won the battle. It might be hard, but I'm glad you came. Just don't stay home. Come anyway. Brother Grisham, I'm dragging. That's okay. He said dragons. Praise the Lord. Now, I know that's way out of context, Brother Hart. Forgive me. I know better. But I like it anyhow. Amen. And it applies. Praise God. That's not proper hermeneutics, those of you that were in the hermeneutics class. Amen. Brother Hart teaches hermeneutics, and he'll forgive me because I've heard him do something similar. Amen. Amen. He said fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. He's getting everybody involved here. He's not leaving anybody out. He's got the young and the old. He's got the rich and the influential. He's got the poor and the common. He's got everybody involved. He said, we're all going to praise the Lord. He's got all the elements involved. He's got fire and wind involved. He's got sky involved. He's got everything involved. He said, everything around the earth, everything connected to earth, I want you to praise the Lord, all of the created beasts of the field and the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea. He said, let's everybody praise the Lord. Amen. He's excited about praise. And then he tells us why. He said, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. First of all, He said, you just praise Him because He's got an excellent name. Amen. Now let me just say that a name is who you are. Amen. And your name is your identity, but it identifies all about you. Amen. And so the name of the Lord explains Him. The name of the Lord identifies Him. So He said, we praise the Lord because He's excellent. He has an excellent name. He has an excellent character. Amen. He is an excellent God. And so we praise Him because of that. If you don't have anything else to praise the Lord for, just praise Him because His name's excellent. Hallelujah. If you can't think of any other reason, just praise Him because He has a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. And give Him praise for His name. He said His glory is above the earth and the heaven. That's why you can praise the Lord. Him just because He deserves it. Amen. I learned a lesson some years ago. Amen. That the Bible said, praise the Lord according to His excellent greatness. That's the magnitude of your praise. That's how greatly you should praise. Amen. Just because God is great beyond anything we can understand. Amen. And we don't praise God because of how we feel. One of the greatest lessons you'll learn as a Christian is not let your feelings dictate to you. I have learned that faith follows feeling, or feelings follow faith, not the opposite. Amen. If you don't follow your feelings, if you do, you'll be like a roller coaster. You'll be up and then down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And your Christian testimony will not be very good. People will say, I never know what that guy's going to be like from one day to the next. I see him one day and man, he's happy and as a lark, he's singing, he's testifying, he's praising God. I see him the next day and he's down in the dumps and I think, my Lord. Amen. And the next day he's back up and down and up and down and up and down. Don't follow your feelings. Amen. Follow your faith. Your faith will give you an established life. Something you, and you can be the same all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. If you can't say it's a good day, say the Lord is good. Amen. This is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we don't follow our feelings. We follow our faith. And I promise you, if you follow faith, in a little while, feelings will improve. Anybody ever experienced that? Hallelujah. You get to praising, thanking God, telling Him how great He is, praising His excellent name. The next thing you know, you start feeling a little something. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I noticed the psalmist, in one place he said, I poured out my complaint unto the Lord. And that didn't do much good. Amen. Sometimes what we call prayer is just a gripe session. It's pouring out our complaint to the Lord. Well, that's better than pouring it out to somebody else. At least He cares. But when you get through pouring out your complaint, then it's time to start praising. I've learned by experience that complaining didn't help a whole lot. You know, I really didn't feel much better after I complained. But I started feeling better when I started to praise. Hallelujah. When I forgot and I didn't feel any better, tell you the truth, to start out, I was still feeling mighty low and discouraged. But instead, I just started thanking God. Everything that comes to my mind, God, I thank You because You're so good. I thank You, God, because I had a good mom and daddy. I thank You, God, because I've had some great pastors in my lifetime that helped me, and some great Sunday school teachers. And I just started thanking God for all of the good things that He's done in my life. Amen. And in a little while, I don't want to complain because my heart's full of gratitude and full of thanks and full of praise because God has dealt bountifully with me. Now, there may be some things that I can praise God for you can't praise God for, but I promise there's plenty to praise God for. Everybody has a lot to praise God for. Amen. He said, He also exalteth the horn of His people. A horn is about two things. It's a symbol of power. Amen. The Lord is the horn of the people. He is our power. He is our strength. Amen. And another thing the horn represents is prosperity. God is our prosperity. And if you are viewing life correctly, then you're a prosperous individual. Well, Brother Grissom, I don't have two nickels to rub together. You're still prosperous. You're still prosperous. Amen. Because you know the Lord that has a cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills and the gold in the hills and the crops on the hills. Amen. Everything that touches the hills, it's all His. Amen. And He knows how to make everything abound toward you. Some of us go through lean times. And then we go through blessed times. A big part of it has to do with the law of sowing and reaping. I said it has a lot to do with sowing and reaping. Amen. It seems to me like the Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, in due season, ye shall reap. If you faint not. Amen. You see, sometimes I've heard people say, well, Brother Grissom, I want to serve God, but I want to sow some wild oats. You know the problem with wild oats? You're going to reap them. They're going to come up. And you're going to have a whole lot of trouble in your life. And you're going to say, why am I having so much trouble? It's because of what you sowed. If you sowed some discord among the brethren, you're going to reap some discord. Take your head like this right here. God help me, amen, not to sow discord. Amen. Help me not to sow jealousy. Help me not to sow schism in the body. because I'm going to reap that, and that's what I sow. If I reap gossip, if I sow gossip, I'm going to reap some gossip. If I sow blasting instead of blessing, I'm going to get blasted instead of blessed. Because whatever I sow, that's what I'm going to reap. So if you're not getting the good things in your life right now, you might look around and see what you've been sowing. Let me say that you always reap in a different season than when you sow. Amen. I've heard people think, well, I got away with it. No, you didn't. That was just the sowing. It hadn't come time to reap yet. It's not harvest yet. But you will harvest that. So what in the world am I going to do? Well, just start sowing everything good you can sow. Because the time's going to come when you're going to reap that harvest of the bad stuff, but you're also going to reap the harvest of the good stuff. And then when you get your life evened out, where you start sowing a whole lot more good, you're going to reap a whole lot more blessing. Some people, their life is just like a roller coaster because they can't stop sowing things they shouldn't be sowing. And so they keep reaping things they just shouldn't ought to reap. Amen. But if you sow it, you're going to reap it. Amen. It's just that way. Amen. You got to be very careful. Praise the Lord. It's a season. So, but God wants His people to be prosperous. Now understand prosperous. That doesn't mean that He wants you to live in a 15-room mansion with a bathroom in every room. Amen. God could care less about that kind of stuff. Amen. Doesn't mean that you're going to be driving a Rolls Royce, a Cadillac of cars. No, because God could care less. See, that's fine. If you want to drive that, that's okay. Not a problem with that. Amen. But I don't think God really cares so much. As long as I take care of His people and my obligations. Amen. Amen. You know, I knew a man one time that somebody gave him a Lincoln Continental to drive. And he didn't even pay for it. He just gave it to him. But he got so much criticism for it that he had to give it back because people, everywhere he went, they'd made comments about, man, you must be doing it. And so he felt condemned, so he gave it back. I wouldn't have given it back, but that was him. I'd say, yeah, the Lord sure is good to me. He gave me this car. Amen. You want to go for a ride? Amen. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen. Praise God. So you see, you praise God when folks are blessed. Isn't that right? That's sowing good things. Amen. Don't criticize people because they're a little different than you are. Amen. And so God wants people to be prosperous. That doesn't mean that it's houses and lands and cars and clothes and money in the bank. That's not God. To God, that's not all about prosperity. There's a lot more to prosperity than that. Amen. As a matter of fact, the reason God blesses people is so they can bless others. Let me say that again. The reason God blesses people is so they can be a blessing to others. God does not bless us just to see how much we can hoard. Amen. But He blesses us to see how much we can be a blessing. Amen. You know what? We shouldn't have any problem supporting our missions program. We've got plenty of money to do it. But a whole lot of it's being spent on things that really shouldn't be first in people's lives. And I'm not talking about here. I thank you for your generosities. But you know, I've witnessed some situations where people said, man, I wish I could give to missions. And I was thinking, you sure could if you just get rid of some of this junk. Hey, if you just get some priorities right, you could be a big blessing to missions. Hey, amen. One guy, he pastor said, you're one of the greatest miracles I've ever met. He said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know. I don't know how it's happened that you and your wife both drive Cadillacs and you got a new boat and a big 20-foot boat and inboard motor and all that. And he said, you did all of that on $2,000 last year. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, you only paid $200 tithes. Man, you're blessed. How do you do that? Can you believe the guy got upset with him? And all he was doing was talking about how blessed he was. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, the man really must have been able to. He could really organize and budget if he could do that. Well, I don't think that was the case. Amen. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all of his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Amen. God, it's his delight to draw near. This whole thing started out, and I think that was the great reason for creation, was for fellowship. God wanted somebody like him that he could fellowship with. And so the Bible said that God created man in his image. After his image, created he them. Because he wanted somebody like him that he could fellowship with. And the scripture says that when he created Adam, he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Amen. And they would fellowship, God and man, until sin came and separated Adam and God. And it took a long time and a lot of sacrifice before he could ever come back and be that close again. I'm telling you, people don't understand what sin does to God. People don't understand how holy God is and how he cannot, by his very nature, fellowship with sin. He just cannot. It's not possible. God cannot be sin. And God hates sin so much that he cannot countenance it and be close to it. Where sin is, he has to depart. So he cannot be where there's sin. So there was a great chasm that came between God and man. When God found somebody that was righteous, like Noah, he would draw near. When God found somebody like Abraham that he could talk to, he would draw near. When God found somebody like Moses that would listen and obey, he would draw near. Now, he didn't start out close to Moses. The first time God appeared to Moses, he told him, he said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. He got his shoes off, and then the Lord said, don't come near. I'll talk to you at a distance. Because Moses wasn't ready to be close to God yet. But in time, the Bible said that God talked to Moses face to face, like a man talks to a friend. Now that's close. That's close. Hallelujah. God knows who he can be close to and who he cannot. When Israel was in the wilderness and God wanted to talk to them, but he told Moses, he said, now you put a fence around this mountain and you tell everybody not to draw near. He said, because if they touch it, they'll die. Because God knew they weren't ready yet for a relationship with him. But he called Moses up and spent 40 days in his presence. And when he came back down, His face would glow with the presence of God so much that people couldn't even stand to look at Him. They were scared to death of Him. Amen. One thing that lets us know is that we're not quite ready is whenever we have a great fear at the presence of the Lord. We're fearful of the presence of the Lord. Now, as your heart gets ready for God and you prepare a place for God and you repair your relationship with God, then you welcome the presence of the Lord. But some of us, there was a time when we were afraid of the presence of the Lord. I remember growing up as a very conflicted young man. Amen. I was fearful of the presence of the Lord. And yet at the same time, I didn't want the Lord to ever leave me. And I wanted to enjoy my sin. I wasn't ready to repent, but I didn't want God to ever leave me alone. So I was kind of a miserable person. When I was in the presence of the Lord, I was very condemned and convicted and miserable. Amen. And so I kind of lived that way for a while, miserable. And then I got to thinking, this is not very smart. Why not just go ahead and give it all up and get close to God? Amen. And when I repented, He came close. He drew nigh. And my, what a difference that makes in a person's life. James 4 and 8 said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Amen. If you'll just make up your mind, I want to get close to God. Hear me. Hear me tonight. If you make up your mind you want to get close to God, God said, I will get close to you. Amen. How do you do that? Well, you do that one way is by His Word. This is how you learn about Him. And you pray. I've heard people say God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. Of course He does. None of us would be here tonight if He didn't, because we were all sinners. Amen. One of your first prayers needs to be repentance. God, I want to change the way I've been living. I want to get close to You. I want to get further away from the stuff I've been doing and the way I've been talking and the way I've been living, and I want to get close to You. Draw nigh to the Lord, and the Lord will draw nigh to you. That's what He says. He said, cleanse your hands. Amen. If you've been stealing, quit stealing. If you've been slapping, quit slapping. If you've been fighting, quit fighting. Whatever you can do with your hands, quit doing it. Cleanse your hands. And then He said, purify your hearts. Amen. Every sin starts in the heart. Amen. And then He said, you double-minded, you got to get your mind made up. 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 Amen. I like what David, or the psalmist said. I want to give credit to David, but it might not have been him. Amen. Got in trouble for that one time. I'm trying to break that habit. David wrote half of the psalms, but others wrote the other half. So I don't sometimes get a little confused. But the psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God. In other words, my heart is focused. My mind is made up. Amen. That's what He's talking about. That's how you get close to God. You make up your mind. Amen. You say, I'm drawing near. Amen. I'm going to live right. I'm going to quit doing things I know that I've been doing that I shouldn't be doing. And I'm going to start doing the things I know I should be doing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Did you know it's the will of God for you to come to church? Amen. Well, I don't want to make it a habit. Why not? If you want to get close to God, what better place? Heard people say, well, I like to get close to God in nature. I get close to God when I'm fishing. Amen. I get close to God when I'm out in nature. Amen. Praise God. And I get close to God when I'm in nature. Amen. But that's not the only place. I tell you, the greatest blessings I've had were not in nature. The greatest blessings I've had is when I was with the people of God. Amen. That's right. Now, there are some people that believe God is a tree. So they go hugging trees. And rocks. And crystals. Amen. Mountains. Oh, there's God. No, that's God's creation. If you think that's something, you need to meet the Creator. If you think a tree's great, well, you meet the one that made the tree. If you think the mountain's awesome, wait till you're one that made the mountain. And that's whenever things really get exciting, is when you learn about Him. So He wants to draw nigh to us. Amen. The Bible said, let us, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, He said, let us draw near with a true heart. Everybody say a true heart. In full assurance of faith. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's, again, that's why you need to be in church. You hear the Word of God. That's right. Amen. And then, but the Bible also says, That if we want to please, without faith it's impossible to please God. And then we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when you believe that God is, that's the first step. And then when you believe He's going to reward you if you diligently seek Him, that's drawing near with full assurance of faith. And you will know more about God as you draw near to Him with your faith. Amen. He will not reject you, but He will receive you. Hallelujah. Amen. I've always loved this verse right here. It says, wherefore remember that in time that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. We can come near because of His sacrifice. His blood covers our sins. And that's how we can get close to God. The Bible said, even in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, when they wanted to come to God, unless you had some blood, you couldn't come near. Matter of fact, it was interesting going to church back then. Every time you went, you had to take a sacrifice with you. You had to take, if you were poor, you could take a turtle dove so that they could kill it and spill its blood. Or you had to take a lamb, or you had to take a ram, or you had to take a bullock. But you had to take some kind of a blood sacrifice for a sin offering before you could really even get to God. And even then, you didn't get very close. You couldn't even go into the inner court. You had to stay in the outer court. You came and you would give your sacrifice to the priest. And the priest would accept your sacrifice. He couldn't refuse it if it was a clean sacrifice. He couldn't say, you scoundrel. You're not worthy to be here. He couldn't say that because you brought the sacrifice. He can only judge your sacrifice, not you. Amen. And it's still that way when we come to the presence of God. When we come to Jesus Christ, if we come in Him, we will be received. Not because we're worthy, but because we have the right sacrifice, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. So we were accepted because of our sacrifice. And then you could watch them as they killed the sacrifice, and they would offer it on the brazen altar, but you didn't get to go in. You had to stay in the outer court. And if you were a woman, it was even worse than that. You couldn't even get that close. But the priest, if they had a sacrifice, could go a little closer. They could get in the inner court. And then once a year, the high priest, if he had a blood sacrifice, could go into the Holy of Holies. One man, one day of the year. So you see, we were kind of all a long ways off. And yet even Israel boasted about that. Amen. Even though it wasn't going so good and they couldn't get that close, the Bible said in Deuteronomy 4:7, "For what nation is so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for?" He said, boastful, they wasn't that close. But that's as close as they could get. Until Jesus came. Call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Not God distant from us. Not God in the heavens watching over us. But God with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And He called people to Him. He invited people to Him. He attracted people to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, "Come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Amen. So he invited people to come near, to draw nigh. Amen. And just to come before the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I've tried to get close to God. I couldn't get close to God." Could it be because you were trying to get close with your mouth and not with your heart? He told Israel one time, He said, "You draw near me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." Some people learn to have church. They learn to go through the motions. They learn how to talk religiously. Amen. But their heart is not Christian. Amen. Their heart's far from God. He said, "You know how to do it with your lips, but you don't do it with your heart. You don't get close to me. You can't just do it with your mouth. You got to do it with a whole heart. But if you'll do that, He'll come near." I love that. Right before His resurrection, He told them, He said, "I'm with you, but I shall be in you." You see, God's getting close now. Would you rather have God with you or God in you? Hallelujah. With's a good thing, but in's a whole lot better. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And God that was distant, moved on the inside. And we started this service saying, "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life." Amen. It's good to have Jesus on the inside. Now, it's good. I've had the Lord on the outside, and that was fine. But I tell you what, it was a lot better when He moved inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never forget. The songwriter said, I can take you to the place. Amen. I can tell you the hour. Amen. I know exactly where and when it happened. I heard one lady say one time, she said, "But I don't really know when I was saved." I can't say that. I can tell you it was on June the 19th, 1967. Must have been about 10 o'clock at night. Amen. On an old sawdust floor under the old tabernacle in Amarillo, Texas. Amen. It's a cafeteria now, but back then it was the tabernacle. Amen. And laying down there in the floor. Amen. I don't know exactly. Somebody said say hallelujah. That's the highest praise word. Well, I don't know where they got that, but I thought if that's the best one, it's the one I'm going to use. Amen. So I started hollering hallelujah just as loud as I could. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's silly. Maybe. But if that praises God, it's what I'm going to do. Amen. If that's what He likes, that's all I'm trying to do is please Him. Amen. I'm sorry if you don't like it, but that's the way it's going to have to be, because I'm not talking to you right now. I was talking to the Lord, and I was crying hallelujah. Next thing I know, I fell back on the floor. Amen. And everything just lit up. It was the brightest place I'd ever been in my whole life. And I don't know how long I was there. I don't know how long I was out, but I heard somebody say when I started coming to, somebody said, oh, he's talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's all I really, when I opened my eyes and looked around, it was a brand new world. Hallelujah. It was the greatest experience ever had in my life. And when I got up, it made me love everybody. Amen. I didn't have an enemy in the world. First thing I wanted to do was to start telling people about it. And lo and behold, I found when you go to youth camp, they make you stay on the campgrounds. I thought, man, if you could get me downtown, I'd tell everybody in Amarillo, Texas about what happened to me. We might want to rethink some things. I know you can't let some of them off the campgrounds, because I worked youth camps for 20 years. But those that just got the Holy Ghost, amen, and they got it burning on the inside, if you can get them down somewhere, they can start talking to folks and telling people about what Jesus has done to them. Hallelujah. Hey, you talk about a testimony. Glory. That's when God comes near. I mean, I didn't just get to the outer court or the woman's court. It's in the Old Testament. That was the women's court. That was the way outside. And, well, let me just say, there was a Gentile's court. Way, way outside. And then the women. And then there was the men's court. And then there was the inner court. And then there was the holy place. And then there was the Holy of Holies. And so you see, people in increments can get a little closer and a little closer. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you tonight, you can get so close. Amen. It will be just like your spirit and your soul. You can't divide them while you're alive. I said you can't divide the soul and the spirit while you're living, because they're just one. They're unified. Praise God. Just you can't divide your body and your spirit without dying, because that's how close you are. And that's how close you and the Holy Ghost will be. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, He literally comes into you and He integrates into your very being. Amen. And He fills your mind and He fills your heart. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Anybody remember that? Hallelujah. If you don't, you need to experience it again. Tonight, let's stand together. Amen. That's when God comes near. Israel thought they had it pretty good, but I'm telling you tonight, you got it a whole lot better. It has never been this good before. Amen. The only way it's going to get better is when He takes us to heaven. Amen. Until then, this is just as good as it gets. And you can be just as close to God as you want to be. Let me say that again. Everyone can be just as close to God as you want to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. My dear brother in the Lord went home yesterday to be with Jesus. Dear brother Albert Salinas, Raymondville, Texas. I remember the night that Sister Salinas and her daughter came to church. First time they'd ever been in a Pentecostal church. They came to the altar the first time they'd ever been there. Both got the Holy Ghost that first night. I said, we want to teach you a Bible study. She said, I'll ask my husband. She asked brother, or at that time, he wasn't brother. Can I have a Bible study? He said, yeah, he can come. But you tell him, I want him out of here in 1 hour. And don't ask me to go to his church. I said, I can do that. So we did the Bible study. I finished in 45 minutes. I said, now, I've been teaching 45 minutes, and so I'm through. I want you to know I was through in my hour. Can you believe that? And then he started asking questions. And I said, I'll be glad. I'll stay as long as you want me to stay. But you remember, I finished in an hour or less. You know what his last question was? He said, when do you have church? And I said, now, you told me not to invite you. I'm not inviting you, but I'm going to tell you when services are. And he came the next service, and he got the Holy Ghost. And he's the first person, the only person of all people have baptized. He's the only person that got baptized twice. I baptized him, and he come up praising the Lord, and the next thing I know, he went right back under again all on his own. He liked it so much, he said, I want a double dip. And he came right back up praising the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, he goes to your church? I said, yeah, he sure does. And he said, well, man, he must be different. He said, he used to hate Anglos. Of course, I'm an Anglo, see, South Texas. And I didn't know that. Hey, man, he's one of the dearest, sweetest men I ever met in my life. Holy Ghost makes a difference.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost makes a difference. It'll make you sweet. It'll make you love everybody. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you need to get near tonight. There's an altar right here. The presence of the Lord's in the house. Amen. You can get as close as you want to right now. Amen. There's nothing to stop you from getting just as close to God as you want to get tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I invite you right now. Let's start drawing near. He said it, didn't he? He said, you draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Amen. You come to me, I will come to you. Amen. Hallelujah. And that, he meant that. So you can get just as close to God tonight as you want to. We call it getting lost in the Spirit. You can get so close to God that you'll be closer to Him than you are to yourself. And you'll take on more and more of His character and His nature. Amen. As you get close to Him. People that get close to the Lord become like Him. They think like Him. They talk like Him. They act like Him. They live like Him. That's the whole idea. Amen. Draw near. Draw near. Huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, why don't we do that right now? Let's everybody just come near. Would you do that? Just step out. Come on down. And let's draw near right now. Not just with our lips, but also with our heart. Hallelujah. Let's get close to Him. Please. name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It was there
I received my sight, and now I am happy all the
Isn't it precious to have Jesus close on the inside? Oh, yes. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Amen. I've known folks that didn't believe you could get the Holy Ghost. Amen. You get too late to tell me that. Amen. You may have more degrees than a thermometer. Amen. But a man with an argument is never better than a man with an experience. Amen. I know what I got. I know what I got. Amen. So you can argue all you want to. Have a great argument. Amen. But I know what it's like. Amen. It's real. It's real. It's real. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. We'll see you Saturday for work day. Amen. Some of you see hopefully in a few minutes. Get that lawnmower going and you load it and so I can take it to the shop. Amen. Greet one other in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Dusty Corbett. Dusty Corbett. All right, I have to make an announcement real quick. Anybody who's involved with the fundraiser or wants to be involved with it, please come up to the first four rows. Please. It's for the iPod. It's a fake.